joined here in the studio now by Orange County Commissioner Mark Dorison, who currently chairs the board for another week or so until the transition happens at the beginning of December. Thanks for being with us today. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Aaron. Great to see you. You are one of the many things I'm thankful, people I'm thankful for in this community. So it's good to see you.
Thank you. What are your Thanksgiving plans?
Well, we're having a cooking the Thanksgiving dinner at our house. Mm-hmm. The whole family is together, and then we have some friends who are coming in as well. So
awesome.
So we should have a nice big table and lots of food and, you know, the good company, eggnog, the whole thing.
Sounds good. And then after the weekend, obviously the work starts back up again next week. And I know one of the things that we're all kind of closely watching is the General Assembly being back in session next week, Tuesday. What are you most closely watching and what are we expecting to happen?
Well, I am certainly closely watching the voter ID stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they released a draft plan yesterday that outlines, at least says there'll be a broader range of IDs that will be acceptable. But I put nothing past this General Assembly. This is the last opportunity they'll have with a supermajority, veto-proof majority. So, and we've seen before, they say one thing before the thing starts. And as we know, because of that veto-proof majority, and the Republicans can go into caucus, they can work everything out behind closed doors, and then present a fait accompli to the full body. So I'm certainly watching the voter ID stuff very closely. I have a lot of concerns about that. And then, you know, once they're there, anything can happen. And so if we really think, as a lot of folks do, that this is sort of the last gasp of the veto-proof majorities, there's been a lot of stuff that's sort of been in their queue for a long time that I worry about. You know, things are related to education, things related to the courts, things related to environmental issues. It really is a hodgepodge. I'm hoping that they decide to get in there and get out of there quickly, but I'll be watching closely.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate that we've got kind of that level of mistrust between the different levels of government and the two kind of partisan sides. But there's a precedent for it, right? 2016, you had a Democratic governor elected, and then all of a sudden you go back in special session for what was, I think, supposed to be hurricane relief at that one too, and then it ended up being three special sessions in December with this bill and that bill and this other bill all designed to strip power from the governor's office, and we've been in court fighting about that for two straight years now.
That's right. And so there is that precedent. And there is also the fact that this is a legislature that put very ambiguously worded amendments before the public for voting and announced well in advance that they were coming back into special session in November after the elections. And with the sense that we're going to get everything done that we need to do before, before we don't have this same power. So I know there's a lot of advocacy groups that are going to be watching this. And I just, like you said, it's unfortunate that the politics have gotten so divisive, but it also is, you know, the precedent has shown that, that this is a legislature that, without the constraints of a veto, for example, has been willing to push the constitutional envelope repeatedly and has been slapped down by courts again and again, and yet seems to show no hesitation in coming back and trying the next unconstitutional thing.
I will say, when I first got the report, and it was an Associated Press report that I first saw with that proposal for voter ID on it, I was kind of pleasantly surprised, to be honest. You've got state university ID included. You've got a free ID that would be issued by county election boards, which I think would have to be. I mean, because we're in this situation, I'm just perusing the state constitution the other day, you know, like you do. And there's that provision that elections have to be free. And
that's right.
In there, regardless of what the voter ID requirements are. So presumably there would have to be a free voter ID at some point. So we're happy to see that in there. Assuming that the proposal that we're seeing now ends up being the thing that passes without any significant changes or amendments or markups in Congress, what are your thoughts about what we're seeing?
Well, it's certainly better than, I mean, I think what we have to remember is, right, this is a General Assembly that passed a voter ID bill a few years ago that was struck down as being unconstitutional.
You know, unfederally constitutional.
That's right.
Right.
And, you know, that was it was part of a massive voter suppression bill that was, you know, it's the one that the court said was targeted African-American voters with surgical precision. And so this is not a General Assembly that's taking up the issue of voter ID with a clean slate.
Right.
They made an attempt. It was deemed unconstitutional, and now they're coming back. And so, you know, even with their worst motives, they've got to at least step away from the bill that was declared unconstitutional. You know, I still think there's a lot of issues as to how those free IDs are going to be distributed, how people are going to get them. Again, you know, if you're talking about people having to get to the county board of elections, there's only one in each county. In lots of rural counties where there's no public transportation, that can be very challenging for voters. And so really understanding, you know, it's one thing to say it doesn't cost anything, as in you have to pay a certain amount of money to get it, but there may be, you know, associated costs with accessing that free resources. What kind of documents do you have to show, for example, to get that, which was an issue in the last time around? You know, you had to have a birth certificate. Well, that costs money to get if you don't have one. So, you know, I think it might have been, I want to say it was Cervantes who said the devil is in the details.
Okay.
And so that is really what we're going to
say. I have no way to challenge you.
I don't, well, you know, someone can Google it and we'll
oh, yeah, Google.
We'll,
we got that.
We'll,
yeah.
Tweet you if I'm wrong. But, you can say there's going to be, I mean, I think in the last version there was some proposal for free ID, but again, it was the kind of thing where you had to have, would have had to produce so much information that even while the actual ID did not have a charge, it would have been a substantial burden on folks. And I appreciate you bringing up the Constitution, you know, that elections should be free, right? That their federal constitution, you know, you bans a poll tax, and if people have to pay to be able to vote, that's a poll tax.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Commissioners, orangecountync.gov is the website for more information. What is coming up on the docket next month for Orange County?
Well, the big thing, of course, is we're going to be swearing in two new commissioners, which is very exciting, and we'll be electing new leaders. There'll be a new chair and a new vice chair. We've only got two meetings in December, so then we go on break. But, obviously, I think the biggest thing that everybody is talking about is the light rail, and this latest news from Duke University that that disappointingly they seem to now at this late state be saying they're not happy with the routes, they're not happy with some of the things. And so I'm hopeful that our colleagues in Durham who are working very closely with Duke, our colleagues in the Durham County Commissioners, are going to help work all that out with Orange County, of course. But you know, given the time deadlines that are looming for finalizing all the financing, getting the final submission to the FTA, having this reluctance or concern expressed by a major partner in the process is troubling. And that's something that we're going to be spending a lot of time focusing on, I know.
And if you're listening out there, go to the Herald Sun. Tammy Grubb at the Herald Sun has a really good article up on exactly that. And you mentioned it's a really, really late time to be raising issues. What was the rationale behind bringing them up now? I know there were some kind of tweaks that were made recently, and that was part of it. But
there were some tweaks made recently. I mean, I don't know exactly. I mean, I think the reason this has come to a head right now is there has been independently there's been an effort to get Duke to donate right-of-way for the, you know, UNC and NC Central and the Veterans Administration have all donated right-of-way, which is a critical part of the funding model, and Duke was in all along in also donating some right-of-way. And so I think the vote was coming up for them to make those decisions, and I suspect that with that pressure becoming real, they decided that these other issues had to be presented as well. But it is frustrating given that the routes in question, the areas in question, have been on the plans, you know, as long as anybody can remember. So
just from your perspective, are you confident that all of this is going to be worked out by the December 31st deadline? Does it seem to be?
I am confident that everyone is going to work as hard as they can to get it worked out by that deadline. And I am, as always, cautiously optimistic that we're gonna reach a good resolution.
We're speaking with Mark Dorison again, Orange County Commissioners. And before we wrap up, I want to go back to something that County Commissioners did earlier this month that we didn't talk about last time, but Lydia Lavelle did when she was on from Carrboro, because she was excited about the agreement from Solid Waste, which everyone is coming together on. And it's a really significant step forward for the county and all of the municipalities on that agreement.
Yeah, it's great. The solid waste, resolving the new solid waste agreement is so exciting. You know, I've been talking to you and to others for the last several months that intergovernmental cooperation is our most critical issue going forward. How we're going to work out all these cross-jurisdictional issues like housing and transit and economic development, and certainly solid waste is one of those. And it's been a long process, but it's really been encouraging to see how the intergovernmental relationships went from a point where they were fairly tense to this, I think, what's going to be an incredibly effective collaborative agreement. So that's exciting, and we talk about it as solid waste, but it's really a critical part of our environmental goals for the county. And so seeing everybody working together and moving in the same direction is encouraging and makes me hopeful for these other intergovernmental issues we have.
Yeah, because it's waste, it's recycling, it's everything, right?
It's waste, it's waste, recycling, it's all of it. It's, you know, long-term disposal, short-term disposal.
Awesome. Again, speaking with Mark Dorison, other things on your mind as we head into the end of the month?
Not really. I mean, I think, it's been a long year. I'm looking, I think there's a lot of exciting, I'm looking forward to 2019. I think there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in the community. The Chapel Hill housing bond passed, the solid waste agreement, which you mentioned. I think there's going to be new folks on the county commission, which is always good, fresh perspectives. And, you know, I think there are a lot of new challenges emerging, but I feel like there's a real excitement and enthusiasm among the elected leaders and among the community to take them on. So
again, orangecountync.gov for more information about Orange County government. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great to see you, Aaron.